the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Joining Murray McKeown and Cal Thomas tonight, we also have Lara Marlow, who of course is based in Paris but has a particular expertise on what is happening in Ukraine at present. And Lara, that's actually where I want to start, perhaps surprisingly, but anyway, that's where I want to start, because if Trump is going on about having to own Greenland to protect against Russia, how can he actually say that with a straight face while he continues to undermine the Ukrainian position against the invasion by Russia and when the attack by Russia is intensifying?
It seems to me that the Trump's threat to take Greenland basically gives Vladimir Putin all the justification he needs to keep Ukraine. And Trump's position until now has been more than ambiguous. I mean, he's basically done everything that Putin has wanted him to. You remember in February of last year when he humiliated Zelensky in the Oval Office. I mean, Trump is not on the side of Ukraine at all. And the little assistance that the U.S. is still giving to Ukraine, they're making the Europeans pay top dollar for. They threatened over and over, in fact, did it twice, to suspend intelligence assistance for the Ukrainian army, which they need to target the Russians. I think, you know, the Europeans are very, very worried that Trump will just end all help to Ukraine and that he will just walk away from the so-called peace talks with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are doing with the Russians. But frankly, I think the Europeans and the Ukrainians should have known by now that they cannot rely on the U.S., that Trump is going to let them down every time and ultimately leave them in the mud, you know. So I think that there is some contingency planning for that. The question is, will the Europeans stand up and defend Ukraine and replace the U.S. As the main source of assistance for Ukraine? But the consistency is really between, Greenland is to Trump, Greenland and Venezuela. Actually, that parallel was made when Trump, kidnapped Maduro in Caracas. The whole philosophy behind Trump's actions and Putin's actions is we do what we want to in our own backyard.
And of course, there's also an International Criminal Court arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin, who has now been invited by Trump onto his board of peace. And apparently he's also inviting him to attend the World Cup, which is between the United States, Canada and Mexico, over those three countries during the summer. Let's hear a little bit of what the French President Macron said he would not be joining the Board of Peace. This is what Trump said in response.
Oh, did he say that? Well, yeah. Nobody wants him because he's going to be out of office very soon. So, you know, that's all right. What I'll do is if they feel like Costco, I'll put a 200% tariff on his wines and champagnes. And he'll join, but he doesn't have to join. If he said that, you're probably giving it to me a little bit differently. But if he actually did say that, but as you know, he's going to be out of office in a few months.
Okay, so what about the French position on what Trump is doing? Do the French, you think, see themselves, Lara, as being the leaders of the European resistance to Trump?
They would like to be. Macron is undermined by the perception that he's arrogant and by the fact that he is basically paralyzed domestically. He's been trying for a year and a half to get a budget passed. The far right is expected by very many people to win the next presidential election a year from May. So Macron is handicapped, but yes, he has all the right positions, frankly, on Greenland, on Europe, on Ukraine. He wants the Europeans to have a united defense. That has always been a French position, that they want the Europeans to defend themselves and not to rely on the U.S. And the French are quite almost gloating for the past year and saying, look, de Gaulle was right. You can't trust the Americans. But I think Macron does have those problems. I was very impressed with the Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney's speech at Davos today. And I'm wondering if he could be a possible leader. Somebody needs to take the leadership of an anti-Trump movement internationally.
Well, as it happens, the California governor, Gavin Newsom, spoke to reporters at Davos today, and here's some of the advice and criticism he made of European leaders.
The one thing they can't do is what they've been doing, and they've been playing. This guy is playing folks for fools, and it's embarrassing.
Europeans think this is diplomacy, and this will ultimately work.
Oh, this is diplomacy with Donald Trump? He's a T-Rex. You mate with him, or he devours you. This, a year ago, we should have been having this conversation, and they didn't. Okay, and now you're paying the price. Exactly what anyone, objective observer, would have anticipated. This guy's a wrecking ball. I hope people are waking up to what we're dealing with. This is, it's code red. I mean, you guys are still playing by all set of rules. Everybody, the globe is, with this guy. He's unmoored. It's the law of the jungle. It's the rule of Don. He's not mad. He's very intentional. But he's unmoored. And he's unhinged. And it requires... The goal is whatever he wants it to be. The goal is the world in his image. Why don't folks do what they say publicly, what they're saying in private? Why don't they just simply do what they know is right? I mean, everybody's talking behind his back. They're laughing at him. Meanwhile, they're sucking up to him. It's embarrassing.
Mary McCone, is that a fair criticism made by Gavin Newsom, that this is embarrassing, the way that the European Union has tried to mollify and cajole an unmoored and unhinged Donald Trump?
Yeah, you know what? I think he pretty well nailed it. Now, Newsom has his critics. But, you know, Matt, even if you think about the surreality of this moment where you have the governor of California, the world's fourth largest economy, still nominally at least part of the United States, going to Davos ahead of a visit by the US president and basically eviscerating Trump, and not just eviscerating Trump, but eviscerating the Europeans for not standing up to him and punching him in the nose. You know, before in America, it was always that, you know, any quibbles within the country stopped at the water's edge, and they always presented a united front at any overseas gatherings. And now, I mean, the level of disarray cannot be overstated. But yes, I mean, when you look at the embarrassing spectacle of Mark Rutte, and even the recent text that Donald Trump leaked, the fawning and the earlier meetings where he's calling him daddy, and but I think I think Newsom is right that the Europeans have been doing the same thing over and over with Donald Trump, and you know the definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. He shows nothing but contempt for Europe, for its leaders, its institutions. You know, Keir Starmer, he cannot be trusted. They thought they had a great deal with Trump with the 15%. It's not a great deal. It was done, I think, in the hope, witness the tariffs, that the Supreme Court would overturn them and it would all be moot. But of course, Trump, as you know, he makes a deal, then he breaks it the next day, or suddenly now France, he's talking about 200% tariffs. You cannot take him at his word, and you cannot trust him. He's entirely capricious, entirely unreliable, and at the moment he's on this, as we've discussed before, this sugar high from his recent military adventures, and he thinks he can do whatever he wants, and to a large degree he can. The US Supreme Court said there is absolute presidential immunity now. There will be no criminal sanction from when he leaves. All of the Republicans have effectively rolled over, except for the ones that are leaving office in 26 or 28. The media is mostly owned now by Trump suck-ups. And so really, all of the conditions that we've spoken about before over and over for democracy to crumble in the US are here. The crisis, as we've said, is now. But the Europeans are not standing up to Trump. They do have the anti-coercion instrument. And I think that it really, if you look at, they have to show Trump that they're serious, because the point with Trump is that he will do what his business buddies and his big donors tell him to do at the end. And if they think there's going to be a global trade war that is going to decimate their profits, destroy their businesses and send the stock markets into free fall, they will say to Trump, stop it. Enough of this nonsense. But that isn't happening yet.
Okay, well, there's a question from a listener. When will the Republicans and or the US Congress grow a spine and some courage and actually do something to stop the orange madman? I put that to you, Carl Thomas. If the European Union doesn't have sufficient resources or power to stop him, are there not going to be people in the United States of America, either in politics or in business, who will say this is mutually assured destruction, that if Trump carries on the way that he does, even if it doesn't lead to any form of nuclear war or shots been fired, that it will lead to an economic catastrophe?
Wow. Well, that's a lot to unpack in just about 10 minutes. Nice to be on with Laura Marlow again, by the way. Haven't heard from her in years. I hope she's keeping well.
Hi,
Laura. Look, I think we've dealt with this issue of Trump's outrageous rhetoric before. I would say that Gavin Newsom is probably going to run for president. I don't think he'll be the nominee, much less elected. But he did a smart thing in going to Davos before Trump arrives, because when Trump arrives, he will be the center of attention. So Newsom's trying to get in a few jabs and in advance of that. I'm opposed to a lot of these things that Trump is saying. I think with respect to Greenland, things could have been worked out in negotiations with the Danes and with the Greenlanders that would have produced virtually the same results in security, keeping China and Russia out. I don't like Trump's imperialistic language. You know, we're supposedly against China taking over Taiwan and Russia taking over Ukraine, but apparently Trump has no problem with taking over Greenland and some other things as well. I think the rhetoric is poisonous. I think it's bad for this country. It's bad for our great friends in Europe. And we do need each other, by the way. And I just think it's unproductive.
Okay, let's also hear him talk about his text to the Norwegian Prime Minister about him not getting the Nobel Peace Prize.
No, I don't care about the Nobel Prize. First of all, a very fine woman felt that I deserved it and really wanted me to have the Nobel Prize. And I appreciate that. If anybody thinks that Norway doesn't control the Nobel Prize, they're just kidding. They have a board, but it's controlled by Norway, and I don't care what Norway says. But I really don't care about that. What I care about is saving lives. And I think I've saved tens of millions of lives.
So, Carl, are you worried about his mental acuity listening to that?
Well, I was worried about some of that in the past, but I was worried about it with Joe Biden, too. But Congress didn't step up, or the administration didn't step up with the 25th Amendment to remove him from office.
Sorry, what's the... Hold on, Carl. Joe Biden didn't start threatening other countries in the way that Donald Trump is doing. Joe Biden didn't threaten the catastrophic consequences of the action of this bullying-type action. Joe Biden didn't go around crying because he didn't get a Nobel Peace Prize.
You're equating some things that are not equatable. I think that you mentioned mental acuity, and that's what we were talking about. Of course, he's angry that he didn't get the Nobel Prize. He said so over and over. But it's not the government of Norway's fault. That's an independent organization that decides these things, like America's Pulitzer Prizes, like the Academy Awards. These aren't handed out by government. They're independent organizations. Look, his ego is taking over here. I mean, it's already taken over for some time. And the fact that he didn't get directly the Nobel Peace Prize, and then he wants to create this Board of Peace, what a joke that is. And it costs $1 billion to be a member of the Board of Peace. This is just more grifting by the administration and his kids and others who are close to him. It's disgusting.
So then why doesn't anyone in the United States stand up and say no more?
They're afraid. They're afraid of their electoral prospects. We have this so-called off-year election coming up with a very narrow Republican majority in Congress. There are still large numbers of MAGA people who think Trump can do no wrong or excuse some of his language and behavior because they care more about certain policies. And they're afraid in a very close and divided country that they're going to lose their seats. And this has become primary for most politicians in America, keeping their seats, not promoting the general welfare. It's a disgrace, frankly.
So, Mary McCone, is it going to be left to the Catholic bishops and priests to lead the countercharge in the United States?
Well, we'll see. And I absolutely agree with what Cal said. Fear is what rules the Congress at the moment. And, the Republicans are utterly spineless, but the Democrats aren't far behind. But on to the Catholic Church. This is fascinating because the Catholic Church in America is split about as evenly as the country, except for I'd say it is 60-40 absolutely behind Trump. Trump has a huge Catholic following and for various reasons, some ideological, some I can't fathom them. But yes, these three cardinals are three, I would say, Pope Francis cardinals, if you will, or Pope Leo cardinals. They're three who are very much, their focus would be far less on trying to curtail LGBTQ rights and curtail abortion rights and those kind of things, and much more on pastoral care of the poor and you know, the migration issues, social justice and all that kind of thing. And that's very much Pope Francis and his successor now, Pope Leo. And it's hot on the heels, of course, of Pope Leo's foreign policy address, if you want to call it that, where he didn't name Trump, but he made his position very clear. But I will say that on the other side of this, you have these three cardinals. The US Conference of Catholic Bishops had an election in November, and it elected Paul Coakley as its new leader, as the new head of the Catholic Bishops Conference. And he is right in Trump's pocket. He's a Tim Dolan acolyte. So on the one hand, you have the Pope, who has these people speaking out. But on the other hand, the real power in the American political Catholic base is now very much on the far right. So I think that there is a bit of a civil war in America, in the Catholic Church, where you have genuine concerns about migration, about what Trump is doing, the very destructive policies, the cruelty of ICE. And then you have other Catholics who are represented by these conservative bishops who are absolutely fine with that.
Okay. Cal, before I go back to Laura, I want to come back to you, Cal. And don't please bring up all the pardons done in Bill Clinton's time or by others. Nobody has pardoned as many fraudsters and criminals as Donald Trump is doing at present, and with some exceptionally suspicious financial transactions going on at the same time. So we have him going out about giving out about Somali fraud, and at the same time, multiples of that fraudsters who have been convicted get let out of prison if they make donations to Trump or foundations attached to him. How can that be excused?
Well, it's hypocritical in the extreme, Matt. You're absolutely right. The Honduran guy who was pardoned, he was a big major drug trafficker and narco trafficker. And as you say, a lot of these grifter friends of Trump, many of whom have contributed large amounts of money to his campaign or to other causes. You're right. But, you know, hypocrisy it seems to be the major manufactured thing in Washington these days. I won't bring up Bill Clinton, but he's not the only one, of course, who has done this. Either fortunately or unfortunately, as we've discussed before in this program, the president's power to pardon is absolute. I happen to know somebody who is in federal prison right now who, in my view, was wrongly convicted, but she has no money and she can't contribute to Trump. And she probably wasn't a Trump voter. She's married to a Democrat friend of mine. And she's getting no consideration whatsoever, even though a United States senator has recommended that she be pardoned. It hasn't gone through the White House yet. So this is the kind of unequal justice we have in too many instances in America.
Laura Marlow, as somebody who was born in and grew up in the United States, but has lived outside the United States for many years now, what do you make of what's happening within your country, and particularly with the ICE operatives and with the failure of the political system to square up to Trump and to try and stop him?
It's the end of the United States as I knew it. I'm absolutely appalled. I think that Gavin Newsom said earlier in that clip you played that Trump was not mad. I disagree. I think that at the very least he's suffering from malignant narcissism. It's hard for anyone who read that letter to the Norwegian Prime Minister not to conclude that he's completely mad. I wrote in an opinion piece in the Irish Times a couple of weeks ago that he was either stark raving mad or his presidency was the greatest success of the Soviet and Russian intelligence agencies ever. And I think both are true. I think that he's possibly insane and that he is a Russian agent. What concerns me is that somebody has to stand up to him. The Republicans, apparently, as Cal says, are too scared to do so. I was speaking to a very old friend yesterday who says that he's a reserve officer in the Marine Corps and says that the soldiers and the military are very reluctant to carry out Trump's orders. And you remember that Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona is being sued by the Pentagon, by Pete Hegseth, because he urged the military not to follow unlawful orders. I mean, it's really got very, very bad. And unless somebody stops Trump, and same with Putin, and neither Trump nor Putin will stop unless someone stops them. I take some encouragement from the fact that the Europeans are starting to talk tough. The European Parliament is freezing the ratification of the trade agreement, which Ursula von der Leyen made with Trump in Scotland last July. Macron in Davos today said that the endless accumulation of new tariffs is fundamentally unacceptable, even more so when they are used as leverage against territorial sovereignty. So the Europeans are starting to talk tough. I saw there was a former British ambassador to Washington who was saying this is gangsterism. What Trump is doing is gangsterism, and that's exactly what it is.
Indeed. Okay, I've got to leave it there. Lara Marlow, Marion McKeown, Cal Thomas, thank you.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.